section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts. All the penis jokes, racial statements, and inappropriate comments should not be associated with our guests and sponsors. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and if you're easily offended, we suggest you stop listening now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm ever. And who doesn't like a good auditory orgasm?
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Coming to you live from the dirty stalls of the IBWIP studio and the airwaves of Silent Storm Radio, please welcome Amish BJ, Cold Beer Coley, and the podcasting god,
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
We're not total dicks.
Follow that, bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I turn my radio dial, I hear pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Two more, we played them back to back. We're going to do your song called 87 Southbound. I wrote En Route to San Antonio on foot. Classic story. I caught you with him on them damp satin sheets. So I packed my things and then I hit the streets. 87 Southbound to San Antonio. You got your baby. I got no home. The pavement's burning at 102. I don't need to hear no more excuses, cause I don't need you. Lord, the sun keeps beating me down and it's hotter than hell. And if I'm lucky I'll catch a ride, but you can never tell. I'd rather be hell with the bugs and flies than back there hearing your alibis. I heard all that I wanna hear you say. I'm gonna take my pride and go the other way. 87 southbound to San Antonio. It's getting dark out. I'm 40 miles from home. The rain keeps a falling. Like the tears in my eyes, just trying to wash away all the hurt from all your lies. All right, burn it down. Streaks across an evening sky. And if I'm lucky, I'll make it there or lay right down and die. Well, I know when the morning comes, I'll still be walking, son of a gun. When afternoon rolls around, I have 10 more miles and one more town. 87. Got your baby. I've got no
like they're playing me. I would swing my heart out to be clear and free. But my heart's breaking and I feel so bad. Didn't know that true love could ever be so sad. I'll tell it to the moon and the stars above. Best to be alone than to be in love. When you're alone, there's no more hurt. And you wear your world like a tailored shirt. It's best to be alone than to be in love.
Welcome back, everybody, to IBWIP, and we have with us the legendary Wayne the Train Hancock. Wayne, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here.
We haven't had you on since 2007 when we did episode 9, and now we're up to 89. It's been too long. The new album is called Ride, and it came out on February 26th. You know, what can folks expect from the new album?
Well, it's got a lot of blues and a lot of good rock and roll, and I mean, my kind of rock and roll, but a lot of the songs were, a lot of them were written this last year, and I got a few classic songs on there, and it's just a lot of the same old stuff, but I got a couple new faces in the band that I've done previously out of all my old recordings. And we got all the old good ones on there.
Awesome. Well, before we had the interview started, we played 87 Southbound, which is one of the iconic Wayne the Train songs. And we also played Best to Be Alone, which is off the new album.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
So one of the questions I had for you is, how did you get the nickname The Train?
Well, the original story isn't as glamorous probably as some people would think it would. Mainly because it rhymed with Wayne. And then as I got older, people said, well, you're like a freight train. You just keep going and going and going and going, you know. So, because we do, when I play a show, it's uncommon for me to play just 90 minutes.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, my standard set is a two-hour set.
And so you spent...
if I'm sweet-talked, I can play a little longer.
Right. You spent 4 years in the United States Marine Corps. What did you do while you were in the Marine Corps?
I marched everywhere I went. I was in a line company out of Kaneohe, Hawaii. And I was in the 1st Battalion, 3rd Marines. I was with Alpha Company. We were a 1st Amphibious Brigade. So we spent a lot of time near the water.
Mm-hmm. You know, the new album, again, it's called Ride. And how long did it take you guys for you to put the album together?
Well, let's see. Writing, you mean like as in writing or as in actual recording?
Actually recording.
It took about a day and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember if it was a Monday we went on, but what day of the week it was. But usually when I record an album, I'll go in about Monday around 12. Maybe spend 6 or 7 hours recording. Then the next day, maybe I'll get another 5 or 6 hours in, and I'm done with the record.
Wow.
On my end.
Sure.
If my record company was as fast as I was, well, we'd have something.
So where did you record the album at?
It was recorded in Dripping Springs, a studio called The Zone. And I used to record a lot in Austin at the Cedar Creek Studios, and they kind of changed their equipment around. I think they were going for more of a contemporary sound. So Lloyd went ahead and moved us over to his new studio out there in Dripping Springs, Texas. Because I really like the room. It's a good room, you know.
And you know, with the different places you've recorded, does that really come across in the album? Like how comfortable you are with the studio that you're in?
Yeah, that and everybody on the album, you know, was some albums are easier cut than others, but the studios and I mean the mix of the musicians that I had this time, it was just really easy. Mm-hmm. Some of those songs are one takes, you know.
Wow. Over the years of experience, you can kind of do that.
Yeah, it gets a lot easier as you go, you know. But it works pretty good for me.
Definitely.
I've lost a couple of good players over the years. Well, I didn't lose them, but they kind of went on other things. They used to use Dave Pillar a lot, and I kind of fell out of touch with him, and nothing bad. You know,
sure.
He changed his number, and of course, Paul Skelton died, you know, so he's been gone 4 or 5 years, so.
The album was released with Bloodshot Records. You know, how has that relationship been with Bloodshot, and how many more albums do you have left with your deal with them?
Well, I just do a one-record deal with them every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of record companies want you to sign for, you know, 4 or 5 albums, but with Bloodshot, I've been with them what, since 2000 or at least 2000. I don't even know how many years I've been with them. But, which is kind of sad, isn't it? I've been with those guys a long time, and we just do a one-record deal every time we record. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right, right.
And, I'm very pleased with Bloodshot because they give me pretty much just all the control, all the artistic control that I need. And you can't say that about every record label. I've been with some other labels, and they want to... dictate to you how your songs are supposed to be. You know, if you write a song and you put it to music, you're really the only one that can really convey how it's supposed to sound.
Sure.
So I'm real happy with Bloodshot. I don't see myself leaving them anytime soon in the next 20 years.
Do you think that, you know, it kind of takes the pressure off of putting together an album when you have a situation like that where you're not having to, you know, I've got 4 albums to do, and, you know, this way you're just the one at a time and you can just do the way you want it and when you want it done?
Yeah, that's really easy for me. You know, when I was with Arc 21, you know, they wanted an album every year. And it's not that it's real hard to do that, but to write good songs, gosh, you know, it takes into production, 4 or 5 months. After my record's in the can, it still takes the record company 3, 4 to 5 months just to put the thing out, you know, get it all together and
sure.
All the printing done and the copies done and all that stuff takes quite a bit of time. And with Bloodshot, I like to record an album once every 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I want my audience to be totally sick of that album so they're really ready for the next one.
Right.
You know, when it comes along.
That's the best marketing plan there is.
Yeah, I just want them to wear it out, you know.
We had a couple of fans write in with questions, and a Brooklyn Hellbilly from New York, she asked, as a master of our genre, over the years, have you seen mistakes and successes, and what are some of the things that young performers could improve upon that you would like to see more of?
I guess just overall quality of writing and playing, you know. I know that... That's really a hard question to ask. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, the stuff that maybe the mistakes that I've made over the years was, and sometimes was trying to hurry through a process of recording, you know. And I have in the past let certain people on certain labels maybe talk me into doing something that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, some of my albums I have drums. And when I was with R21, that Miles Copeland always, you know, you can't have respect with your band if you don't have drums. Now, this is the guy that's, you know, made a lot, millions of dollars telling people, you know, how to do their music, but he's not a musician, so how would he know how to tell me how to do it? And to those people out there that are out there working every day out in the honky-tonks, I would say to them, always follow your heart.
Sure.
I mean, if it don't feel right, then don't do it, man. You know, because you got to live with this the rest of your life.
Right. Once you make that album, it's kind of with you forever.
Yeah, if you write a song and it's a hit, you better be ready to sing it the rest of your life. And some songs I wish I put more verses on. And but yeah, I mean, just always follow your heart, and that's the best advice I can give to anybody.
Awesome. Another guy named Steve Lowe wrote in, of all your musical heroes, which one would you have liked to have shared the stage with?
Undoubtedly Hank Williams.
Definitely. Do you remember the first time you heard Hank Williams' song?
Yeah, I do. What was it? It had been around 78 or 79. And my sister bought home a 24 of Hank Williams' greatest hits. It was on a big two record, vinyl thing, and I put it in I put the record on the record player and started listening to it. When it came to Lovesick Blues, I got the shiver up my spine.
Right.
And that doesn't happen that often, And it was like I could immediately relate to everything the guy was singing about. Like it was kind of eerie, like I'd sort of been there before.
Right.
Which is kind of weird, if you're 13-something years old, and you're hearing that kind of music for the first time. It really changed everything about me. I quit listening to country music, period. I started listening to Hank Williams.
Right. It's definitely, you could tell, the magnitude of his writing when he can, he can have a 13-year-old relate, and he can also have a 70-year-old person relate to what he's saying.
Yeah, and his music, it's timeless. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound dated. It's really weird, man. I would have loved to have met that guy.
Yeah.
I met his grandson. I never met his son, but I met his grandson. But I would have loved to sat down and talk to that guy about writing and how he approached his songwriting and stuff, and put stuff in music. Because, man, he really had it,
Definitely. He's been an all-time favorite of mine for a long time. And I kind of had the same reaction you did when you first heard him. There was something about what he was saying that even, as a kid in high school, I could still kind of relate and be like, wow, it was just an overwhelming, powerful feeling.
Yeah, I remember my friends going, what are you listening to that for? In fact, I got a few fights more than a few fights because of my love for Hank Williams. Remember, that's back in the days when AC/DC and Kiss were big on the radio. Of course,
right.
All my friends were into the rock and roll stuff. And I was there always listening to Hank Williams and, of course, Bob Wills, too.
Sure.
You know.
From your new album, which song would you say that you're most proud of or is your favorite?
Of which song?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, because they're all really good.
Right.
I'm real happy with Ride, song Ride, because it's the most rockin'est tune I've had pretty much since I wrote Johnny Law. Mm-hmm. I log a lot of miles on my Harley out on the road, and it's me and my wife, we split up. We're still married, and we're very good friends, but we're separated. It's just like the song says, I was on a lot of antidepressants and everything, and my life was getting more and more upside down, and trying to quit drinking, and I quit smoking reefer, and all this stuff, and then I got into riding motorcycles, man, and getting out on that open road, and just pushing that needle all the way to 90, which is, I want to recommend everybody do that. But for me, it's the best kind of rehabilitation it is, because you're going so fast, it's like you almost leave yourself behind.
Right. And it has been well documented that you've had your struggles with alcohol over the years. What has been the most difficult part for you staying sober at times?
The most difficult part is when I'm out with my friends and with my brothers, people are drinking. You want to have a drink with them,
right?
But I know if I do, because it's always in the back of your mind. What's the saying that's popular with the AA people? One drink's too many, and 500 ain't enough.
Right.
and I'm one of those guys that I'll do, you know, to have a shot here and there. But sooner or later, I'm going to take too much, I'm going to black out, or I'm going to get drunk on one of my shows, and I just don't want to do that anymore, man, you know.
Definitely.
Every time I get thrown in jail, you know, you get a third DUI, you go to prison now,
right,
you know, for a while. I wouldn't do well in prison.
Right.
You know? You know, and reefer is another. I used to smoke marijuana to, you know, to help curb my drinking, but man, it's against the law, and I've been busted with it so many times.
Right.
And it ain't worth it.
No. And
so I just figured, hell, I'll just give them both up, you know.
There you go. You know, I'm going on, I'll be 11 years sober in March, so I know exactly what you mean. It's like you said, you know, one drink's not enough, and, you know, it can go on and on and on.
Yeah, well, congratulations on your sobriety, man.
Thanks.
I had 11 under my belt when I fell off the wagon in 99.
I better watch out then. 11 must be the unlucky number.
You could be, you know. And, you know, I don't go to AA. I used to go to AA, and I'm not recommending that people don't go to AA,
right,
AA meetings. But for me, it's I can't. If I go to AA meeting, it makes me want to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody there is talking about how they just love to drink, you know, and how great it tastes. And it's like, man, all that does is just make it worse.
Right.
But, you know, I'm in the MC world, man, and I got my brothers to fall back on, and they're behind me 100%. So
awesome.
It's working real good for me now.
Cool.
You know.
Best of luck to you on that.
Thank you.
So, you know, you spend a lot of time on the road. What do you do to pass the time as the van is traveling down the highway?
I'm driving, so I drive everywhere. And I seldom ever let anybody in my van drive. And I'm, you know, because I know it's my van. If something happens, you know, I'm the guy responsible. And but when I drive, I like to listen to Big Band Swing.
Sure.
And been driving. Most of the guys in the back are, you know, they're either talking about jazz leagues or what they're going to be playing on the next show, or they're sleeping, or they're on the internet or whatever, you
right.
know. But I have a tour bus. You'd be surprised at the ways you can come up to entertain yourself riding in a 15-passenger van, you know.
Right. You know, in a career that has spanned, you know, over 20 years, what would you say has been your greatest achievement as a musician and songwriter?
Well, let's see. Got a few pretty good ones, but I guess I would say my greatest achievement to me was when I was singing with the Texas Playboys up there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Finding their band just for a couple songs.
Sure.
You know, to me that was my highest time, and I did a duet once with George Jones too, but I was kind of scared.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not scared, but
I'm intimidated.
But I just got off. Well, I just got off a tour with ZZ Top, and everybody hated us. You know, I was like, "You ain't lived, man, until you've been booed by 20,000 people."
Right.
You know. So when I did the show with George Jones, I said, "Oh man, it's gonna be just like everything else. They're not gonna like us." So I went out and did all these pretty kind of hard song that I think I opened with Lovesick Blues, and I did I Ain't Got Nobody, yodeled that on through, and I got a big standing ovation. And after the show, I was outside smoking a joint out back to the club or the place in Kane's Ballroom, and George's manager came out and said, "Yeah, Awesome wants you on stage with him." And I said, "The who?" He said, "Come on, George Jones wants you to come up and sing one with him." And I thought, well, that's great, except I don't know any new country songs. And I even told him that. I said, "Mr. Jones, I don't know any new country songs." And he says, "All you got to do is read the monitor, son." You know, like one of them telemonitors.
Sure.
I think we did "I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair." I think those were two of my most favorite times, you know.
That's awesome.
I'm sure there's other ones out there. I just can't think of them all right now. But
sure.
I mean, as a whole, man, it's all been pretty enjoyable. You know, there's ups and downs, just like any other job. But as a whole, I've really enjoyed touring.
Awesome.
I love when I'm home, I love riding my motorcycle almost as much as I love driving and singing.
Cool.
So I got a really good balance.
Well, just don't do 90 all the time for the rest of
it. No, I don't. The only time I ever do, it's amazing when I'm riding by myself, I usually do 75 or 80 if I'm riding in formation. Right. They will push 85. You know, but you got to be careful out there. Even if you know what you're doing, it's not you. You got to watch out for the other idiots,
right.
other people on the road.
Exactly.
Aren't paying attention, you know. And when you're riding with, eight or nine guys on the road, or if you're riding with 500 on the road, that's a lot easier to see and hear those guys coming.
Right.
If you're riding by yourself, it can be quite dangerous. You know, so I try to keep the speed limit down when I'm riding by myself. But I think I got a lot of guardian angels watching out for me, man. So
there you
I'm
go.
All right.
Well, Wayne, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Like I said, it's been way too long. Congratulations on the new album. I've heard it. I love everything on it. After the interview, we're going to play Ride, and then we're also going to play another one of my favorites, Viper of Melody. So where can folks go to find out about your touring and find out about how to get a hold of the album?
Well, Bloodshot posts my tour dates, I believe. And I'm with Atomic Booking now. You might be able to go to their website and look them up as well. And if not, we usually post them on my Facebook page. I think my wife has the computer. I let her have it. Computer. So, but my Facebook page is Wayne Hancock 65 at yahoo.com. That's my webpage.
All right. All right. We'll put the links to everything on there. And again, congratulations on the new album. And stay safe on the road and enjoy yourself, buddy.
All right, super fine to you, man.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, me and my baby are splitting up, and I'm feeling really bad inside. I'm going to put on my cut, put my kickstand up, and saddle up my Super Glide. Lord, I'm going to ride. Yeah, I'm going to ride, ride, ride. What's the use in bragging about when my baby ain't around no more? I'm gonna get out on some interstate and throttle down a 94. Lord, I'm gonna ride. Yeah, I'm gonna ride, ride, ride.
attention, folks. Here is how you contact the show. We love your feedback, so get off your lazy asses and get a hold of us. You can email Blake at IBWIP.com, IMSBJ at IBWIP.com, and coldbeer at IBWIP.com. That's my mom and dad. We also have a dial-in number that you can use to leave us a voicemail or call in during the live taping. Now program this into your phone. 1-203-429-4711. We look forward to hearing from you, and remember, boob pics are always welcome.
More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics!
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.